We are glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those raising a child with challenges. Our goal is to help you, as a parent, to be a champion for your child. On today's podcast, we're talking about preparing for an important meeting on behalf of your child. Stay tuned for 5 tips to help you get ready for an IEP meeting, a meeting with a doctor or a therapist, a coach, a dance instructor, etc. But first, we want to start with a word from God's Word.
In this podcast, we'll be talking about how to best prepare for an important meeting. My preparation has a lot to do with how I communicate and how I think about communicating. It's easy for me to get overwhelmed by anticipating the unknown steps. I tend to want to have a plan for all the things that could go wrong. Instead, I need to pour my energy into what to do to make the meeting go well. When I meet with someone, I want to communicate what is on my heart. I want to speak clearly. I want to be understood. I want my questions answered. I want the best for my child. I think many of us can identify with this. When meeting with someone who has been working with our children, for instance, a doctor, a teacher, a coach, we want to advocate for our child. We also want to communicate well. We all want to communicate what is on our heart. We want to speak clearly, and we want to be understood. We want our questions to be answered. We want the best for our children. The Bible gives us great principles to help us. There are a couple of chapters in the Bible that give us practical instruction about how to live our life on this side of eternity. In Romans 12 and Hebrews 12. Romans 12:18 says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." We will be sharing with you some practical ways to foster a relationship of cooperation. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone." So how can you do this as you represent or speak for or support or defend or stand up for or champion your child? We're going to look at some practical ways to confidently be your best as we together champion our children.
Through the experiences of 27 years of doctor's appointments, teacher meetings, etc., advocating for our children, we've learned some things that help those meetings to go smoother and more often than not actually accomplish our goals. Here are a few of those strategies.
Yeah, the first one is to dress up.
Look nice and put together. Sad to say, but it is true that you and your baby or your child will get better service and attention if you are looking your best. Prejudice is alive and well on planet Earth. Your goal is to build a relationship with this person or team of people who have influence over the help your child receives. When our Amy was young, we had lots of follow-up appointments with doctors and therapists and early intervention professionals. We have a dear friend who has a son with special needs who's just a little bit older than our Amy. She gave us this advice of dressing up and looking very put together. I have to admit that I thought it was kind of silly to worry so much about what I looked like to others when my main focus was on getting answers to help my child. But then we started making our own observations. As we had appointments in big teaching hospitals, and even small therapist offices and the pediatrician's office, we watched. Whether they are aware of it or not, the professionals in these offices definitely had a different attitude toward the parents who looked put together than those who had clothing that was ill-fitting or frayed, hair not groomed, and whose children were presented in like manner. There was no question that the parents who were well-groomed and who had children who were well-groomed got preferential treatment. These were the parents who were taken seriously.
The next tip for preparing for a meeting on your behalf of your child is take a notebook.
If you walk into a doctor visit or other important meeting with a notebook and an attitude of being teachable, professionals take notice. Ask questions about terms they use that are part of the lingo of their profession. Write notes about them. This lets them know that you are serious about the well-being of your child and you want to do whatever you can to learn what you need to learn. You also give an air of respecting their position and their profession and their expertise. Sometimes we didn't even know what we were writing in that notebook. There were so many new terms to learn about all the anomalies of charge syndrome, not to mention all the terms to do with occupational therapy, ENT issues, gastroenterology issues, heart and lung issues, that we would just write what we thought they were saying. Then, if we had time at home, we looked it all up. We began to accumulate very helpful notes from these meetings. After a while, people began to ask us if we were in the medical profession. What happens when your child has need of a gazillion types of antibiotics or other medications? You learn about those meds, how they affect your child, and everything else you need to know for the sake of your child. The medical professionals began to ask me if I was a nurse because I was so familiar with the names of the meds and their effects.
And Julie became an expert, that's for sure. Okay, when preparing for a meeting on behalf of your child, it is also good to be a team player.
Present your concerns and questions with intent and also with kindness and an air of brainstorming, of problem solving with the quote-unquote team. This is a very important tip. Once a professional gets a vibe from you that you are antagonistic, just like every other human on the planet, they become defensive. If they feel you are questioning their expertise, it doesn't bode well in building a relationship with this person. Even if you don't agree with everything this person is telling you, give them respect, at least for their position. If another professional in this field is a better fit for you and your child, by all means, switch. But be careful to not burn bridges behind you. We know what it means to be frustrated with the whole process of finding the best care for your child. It gets a little crazy. It can be so overwhelming because you're on a serious learning curve. You are concerned that these professionals really know what they're talking about. You may feel like you're losing control over the decisions that need to be made for your child. We understand those feelings of overwhelm, inadequacy, frustration, even anger sometimes. We've been there. Find a way to brainstorm through your frustrations with someone who can help. A trusted friend, a pastor, a counselor. This may set you up so that you're ready for the professionals in a rational frame of mind. My dear friend Debbie helped me with this tremendously. Whenever we had a critically important meeting with a doctor or other professional that we were feeling particularly concerned about or vulnerable about, she would encourage me to contact her that day or the day before the appointment. I would call her up and tell her about the appointment, share my concerns and frustrations and vulnerability with her. Then she would say, "Okay, leave your frustration, vulnerability, and overwhelm with me. I will take care of your emotions for the duration of that meeting. You just walk into the meeting with your rational, sharp brain ready for action. Do what you need to do. Communicate what you need to communicate. Get the information you need." She would continue, "If you feel like you're getting emotional, remember that I'm taking care of that, and switch back into fact mode and do what you need to do. So, Mom and Dad, do what you need to do so that you present as a team player. Particularly in the medical field and in the educational field, doctors, nurses, and teachers talk to each other. You don't want to place you or your child on a blacklist or in a category where the professionals are not going to bat as much as they can for your child.
Okay, in addition to dressing up, taking a notebook, and endeavoring to be a team player, you also want to display an attitude of gratitude.
Give the attitude of gratitude to whomever you meet, even if you don't feel like they're being particularly helpful. And that might not be your first reaction, but you set your mind. So many situations have turned around when parents take the high road of respecting the position of the person with whom they meet. Perhaps that doctor or therapist or support staff for the doctors or therapists or educator have just gotten personal bad news. Perhaps they aren't feeling well that day. Perhaps they have to deal with a particularly difficult situation. And it has left them deflated and defeated for the moment. We have to remember, they are human too. We know it is hard to deal with folks you feel are not going to bat the way you want them to for your child. Good parents have Mama Bear and Papa Bear syndrome. It is appropriate for us to be our child's best advocate. Do your research. Keep careful watch over the adults who are in your child's world. Find the best of the best as much as you can. But everywhere you go, consider spreading that attitude of gratitude. Sometimes appreciation will open doors that will lead to the best for your child. You know how you feel when you're appreciated, right? Doesn't it make you want to give more?
And the last tip for preparing for a meeting advocating for your child, you want to be willing to listen to the other side.
Being willing to see where the other party is coming from doesn't necessarily mean that you will change your mind about how things should go for your child, but it could quite possibly pave the way for new possibilities for your child. This is a new experience for us as parents. We're traveling new roads here. Often we don't know what we don't know. Let me say that again. Often we don't know what we don't know. Be careful to not throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater, meaning there may be some things about this professional that you don't like, but perhaps they are the best one for the job. For example, let's say your child needs surgery. The personality of the best surgeon for this particular operation needed could be arrogant and dismissive towards you. Perhaps he or she has a bad bedside manner. If you get up in arms about this aspect of the doctor and create an adversarial atmosphere or relationship, your child may not get the best that this outstanding surgeon has to offer. The same could be true in educational or therapy sessions and settings.
Whether it is an IEP, a doctor visit, a meeting with a teacher, coach, dance instructor, etc., if you take to heart the above tips, you could do much to advance the cause for your child.
So we hope that those steps will be helpful to you as you're preparing for meetings that on behalf of your child. The next thing we want to do today is one of my favorites. It's the tip for the day. This is very practical, down to earth. Okay, how are we going to get through our day? Do you have a child who has sensory issues? Today, we're going to give you a tip to help with the sense of touch. Does your child have difficulty wearing certain clothing because of the fabric type or tags? Or wearing socks? That was a problem that our son had. With wind blowing on them? Or when people brush past them and touch their skin lightly? Here's an activity you can do that will make a difference. We call it scratchy glove. Get a bath glove, put the glove on your hand, then lightly glide the glove over all four limbs of your child and any problem areas, the feet, the back of the neck, wherever. Some kids have trouble with haircuts. You could also use this all around their head and their neck and all of the areas that are affected by hair dropping. Do this activity twice a day for 3 minutes. Now, keep going until you see change. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about, give you a story about stopping just short of the goal. So there was a child who had difficulty eating food at a normal temperature. They either had to have it super hot or very, very cold. I know that sounds really crazy, but that was the only way that they would eat their food. So it was recommended that they get something called a toothette, which is a little sponge on the end of a stick, to dip that toothette first in ice cold water, and then rub it all around the inside of the mouth, all over the gum lines, the teeth, inside the cheeks, the tongue, everywhere in there. And then to dip it in very hot, of course, but not scalding. We don't want to do any harm to our child. But then they were recommended to do the ice cold and then the very hot, and rubbing it all over the gum lines, teeth, inside the cheeks, the tongue, all over. If you know what is happening when you do activities like these, like the scratchy glove or this toothette with the hot and cold temperatures, it helps you to stay the course. Each time you do the activity, you are opening pathways in the brain. You're working toward making a connection. It's when the connection takes place that you will see the change. Just remember, when you are tired of doing the activity, we understand that there is behind-the-scenes stuff going on. Know that there's something happening. Hear me cheering on the sidelines. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. You can do this. Keep going until you see a change. Oh, and if your child is especially hyper about this sense of touch, you may have to start out with only 30 seconds at a time, then build the amount of time. Using a timer will make this activity a whole lot easier. Please remember, in all things with our children, it is never too late. There is always hope for tomorrow. We are Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the ministry Champions for Parents.
We are USA missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges, through pefministries.org. Our goal is to help you, as a parent, be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups wherever they meet. We've spoken to mothers of preschoolers, moms next groups, homeschooling groups. Julie's spoken to a ladies brunch group and wherever parents are gathered. We would also like to speak to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, and especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond. If you know of any parenting group who is looking for a speaker, send us an email at championsforparents, that's champions, number 4, and the word parents, championsforparents@gmail.com. Let's get the conversation started.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey. Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.